93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
All right, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. It's Brother Johnny. He's live in Houston. Johnny, how are you doing?
JBJ, we're down here in the nice, cool south.
Yeah, it's not 102 in Houston, is it?
Oh, it's about 80 right
now. What the heck is going on?
And 84 in New Orleans this morning. It's going to be up to 90. No, we have a little rain kind of in and out of here. But, yeah, it's blistering through the Midwest.
Unreal. Mike Ditkin, Chicago. Coach, it's hot in Chicago.
Well, it's hot. It was very hot yesterday. I actually played 5 holes of golf, and I quit. It was to the point where you have to be careful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be warm today again. I thought, it rained like heck up here last night, so I thought maybe that would all be the hot weather would be out here. But, no, it's supposed to be out by tomorrow, I guess.
Tell you, those farmers need some rain for that corn, Johnny. That's for sure. Man, live.
Well, I know it. And hopefully, I don't know what's on the horizon, but we need some moisture.
And not much you can do when it pollinates.
It's summer, guys. It's summer.
Yeah, that's right. It's not global warming, huh?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
All right, the NFL players suing the NFL over Bountygate. That's third in the long shot, isn't it, Mike?
Well, I don't know. I think you got to look at this. Is do you want a safe game? Do you want the game right? You don't want this to happen. Now, I don't know what happened. Nobody does. No, but I mean, there's no part for this in football. Now, I think what they're suing over is not. They're suing over the fact that the commissioner came down hard on some people, and he hit him where it hurts in the pocketbook, because he suspended him without pay. And when you start doing that, you know, that's where they came down. And I think that's the role of what the union is. That's what their job and responsibility is, to stand up for the players. But if you're asking me, and I've been around this game for 50 years, I really don't understand the Bountygate thing. Is the one thing I don't understand. I don't know. You know, you play the game hard. You play it as hard as you can. Your job is to knock the be heck out of the other guy, whatever you can, but you don't go out with the intent to say, I'm going to break somebody's leg or hurt them. I mean, that makes no sense. Enough people get hurt in just playing the game of football. So intentionally to say, we're going to take a quarterback out, I mean, just think about this. Every time the quarterback drops back, defensive end rushing, instead of going for the quarterback, went for his knee. What kind of game would you have? I mean, it would be silly. It would be ridiculous. So I think, to me, you know, I really don't. I wish I understood a little bit better, but I don't.
Well, I think that, Vilma, for instance, the Saint linebacker, he's suing the league, and he's just saying that what they said about what he did, it wasn't true, and he doesn't like it. I don't know if he's wasting time, though, Mike. It's,
I don't think he's wasting his time if it's not true.
That's just the way it is.
And I think you got to fight it. I don't think there's any question about that. And the only person that knows that really is Jonathan Vilma.
Right.
Period. And if he believes that, then you got to stand up for what he believes.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess you're right.
All right, so you're at a stadium. You're Soldier Field, Chicago. Apparently the NFL is also going to show on the jumbo screens what the referee is looking at on instant replay. So after a few brewskis, I'm probably not going to have as good a look under the cape as the NFL guy. I'm surprised the NFL is going to show what the referee sees, because that could really incite the crowd, couldn't it, Mike?
Well, you mean incite the crowd more?
Yeah, right.
You got to realize they're not going to like the ruling no matter what. If it's against their home team, they're not going to like it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, I mean, it doesn't. To me, I don't see any problem with that, really. I think if I'm a fan and there's a call, and I'm not sure what it is, I would like to see what it is. I'd like to see why the officials ruled the way they did. As a coach, I would like to see that. I know that. So I don't have an answer for that either. I'm just saying that, you want to rule on the side of fact or fiction.
Yeah.
You
know,
if
you see it, you know what it is. It's not what you think it is.
That's not a very easy job, Steven. It just got harder, because that puts your pressure on the ref.
Yeah.
They do an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And It's not.
Yeah, they get a whole lot more of them right than they do wrong. Oh, you know, the right, only thing we remember is the wrong one. That's all.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And of course, the Bear fans of that NFC Championship a couple years ago were burning Jay Cutler's uniform in effigy and white by the third quarter. Johnny, is that what I hear?
They were disappointed in Jay. Of course, you didn't know how. You know, he was hurt, and they didn't know it, and didn't want him. You know, they wanted to win that game.
Let me say one thing, guys. You know, you pay the price to get into a stadium, but that doesn't make the fan right. I mean, I'm just saying, you can do what you want to do. You can get in there, you can cheer, you can boo. That's your business. But outside of that, you know, it's ridiculous.
All right. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Menechi's Restaurant. You want real Italian cuisine? It's Rob Meister, Menechi's, first in Springfield in Champaign. Okay, Barack Obama on the campaign trail. Here we go.
The choice you're about to make, because it's more than just being about two candidates or two political parties. This is about two fundamentally different visions of how we move forward.
I want to just be on record saying I believe the president is right on that statement, Johnny.
That's two different visions is right. And the vision he's got, I've seen enough. Holy cow. Yeah. But it seems to be a clear choice, Mike. I don't know... I don't know how it's going to go.
Jobs number, by the way, 8.2 stayed the same.
Yeah.
So it's what it is, Mike. There's a lot of people out of work.
Well, there is. I mean, right now, this thing is going to get a lot uglier, this race for the president. There's no question. You know, there's going to be name-calling and finger-pointing and everything else. But, you know, I think if you really believe that you can run on your record, then I don't think he has a problem. He'll run on his record, and his record is not good. I mean, if that's what he believes, if he believes that he has moved the country forward in the last 4 years, then fine, then run that way. And then if the people believe that, they're going to elect him. That's all there is to it. Guys, you know, I travel around a lot, and this is a big world, a big country. And a lot of people really care. And I don't think they care because they don't think they make a difference. And that's what I see. I'm sorry. So, you know, if somebody flips on a TV and they hear a candidate talking and they don't really understand what the subject is all about or the depth of it, then they just hear what they hear, and if it sounds good to them, fine, then that's what it is.
Well, I think that's an important point, Steve, and that makes it very difficult because the individual has a hard time understanding when there's 100 million people voting that it really matters what they...
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
exactly
buying a lottery ticket. Yeah. There is the chance you'll win, but what's the real impact is you're buying that ticket going to have in general? You're just going to lose a dollar. So, but it is important, Mike, and that's the thing. We have to have leaders who are in line with the vision that we want as a group, as a big 100 million person group. And the vision Obama has, I think, is not the vision that at least half of us have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, John, you're saying, you know, the vision, what vision, how many people, what percentage? So you're saying percentage, 49% have one vision, 51% have the other vision. So, I mean, and that becomes a problem because somewhere along the way, we're not putting America first, and this is all the stuff we heard. We're not putting this country first. We've watched other countries go through what they're doing in Europe now. They're having a lot of problems, and we're on the same path. You know, and I go back to what Lincoln said, Nate, you cannot spend more than you take in.
Yeah, but
you cannot spend more than you do. You cannot help the poor by taking from the rich. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. All that stuff is true, but, you know, that's common sense, though.
Yeah. And the truth is, what I think we're getting at on the percentages is probably about a third of the people have one vision, a third have another vision, and a third have
third
no
don't
vision.
Know. They don't care.
And the ones with no vision are who decides this thing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, you of course have the administration saying this thing was way worse than we knew coming in. The thing was a mess when George W. Bush did this. It took us a lot longer. I mean, that's what we're still hearing.
Well, that's wrong, though. That's really wrong because it's not you don't point out where the other guy went wrong. You point out where you went right.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to fix it. I came in to fix it. Now, if I take on the responsibility of a job, then my job is to fix that thing if it's broken. I don't point back and say, well, this guy broke it, or when he broke it, or why he broke it. That's none of my business. My job is to fix it. So I think when you look at that, you know, and he had a chance because he had both, you know, he had the Senate and the House there for a while. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing. You know, eventually you cannot, you know, just talk out of both sides of your mouth because people are going to figure it out. The people who want to figure it, let me get that straight. The people who want to figure it out will figure it out.
Well, the other thing is, Mike, you've noticed this is a chronic feature of the administration and the Democratic leadership lately, which is...
Oh, it's crazy.
They haven't done anything wrong. All the things that have gone wrong, all the things that haven't worked, nothing has been their fault.
Nothing's their
and
fault.
When,
you're
when
right,
you hear
absolutely.
That nothing's been my fault.
And,
it's always
but John,
somebody
a lot
else.
Of people hear that, and they believe that crap.
Well, that,
but the problem, Steve, is if you don't know what you're doing wrong, you can't fix it.
Yeah, right.
So you're doomed. You're just going to keep doing the same thing. That's why we need to change. It's just like golf when you have to change the guy going first because things aren't working out. We need to switch. We need to switch leaders.
All right. Let me point to your point. It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM, 745. All right. As of Wednesday, now this stat, I don't know why it surprised me, but 41% of America as of Wednesday did not know what the Supreme Court said about health care. 41%.
But let me give you a better one than that. 75% don't care what they said. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's crazy.
Wow.
Well, I think, though, that as time goes on, of course, they'll all, that many well, of
you
those
know, let me
people
ask you guys
find out exactly that.
Because I don't know myself.
All right.
How many people you really think understand Obamacare?
Not very many.
That's the problem. So, I mean, it is what it is, and I'm not sure that I'm one of them. You know, I'm not one of them. I mean, it's they made a big deal. I mean, it's crazy.
You got 13,000 new pages of tax and regulation. The White House has told us it's not a tax, so stop saying it. You had a woman sobbing at a rally for Barack Obama, sobbing, crying, weeping, thanking him for creating health care. I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, I think that that issue's been kind of coming into focus is the whole Obama legacy, and I think it's a bad legacy, and I think I still think that's going to be what takes him out, because the tax ruling just makes it a tax, and that's a difficult position for him to defend, because he said he wasn't going to tax anyone, and the Supreme Court ruled it. It doesn't matter what anyone's opinion is, per se. That's a tax.
Well,
that's what they're going to have to do. And what is it, 16,000 IRS?
Well, it's both a tax and a penalty. There's no question about it. But, you know, then again, the Supreme Court could have stopped it all, too, and controlled it. But, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for... because it's all political. They're all political, too. Come on. There's nothing. It's all political. And whoever the so-called independent side is with, they're going to win. It makes no sense to me. But, you know, our system was set up that way, so you got to live by it.
Here's Mitt Romney on CBS this morning.
I said that I agreed with the dissent, and the dissent made it very clear that they felt it was unconstitutional. But the dissent lost. It's in the minority. And so now the Supreme Court has spoken. There's no way around that. You can try and say you wish they had decided a different way, but they didn't. They concluded it was a tax. That's what it is. And the American people know that President Obama has broken the pledge he made. He said he wouldn't raise taxes on middle-income Americans. Not only did he raise the $500 billion that was already in the bill, it's now clear that his mandate, as described by the Supreme Court, is a tax.
And 30 years ago, Johnny, 86% of Americans paid federal tax. 51% now pay it. We're just
right.
Going the wrong direction. Anyways.
Well, I think the thing that you have to understand is that whether Obama meant to tax and deceive everyone or where he just didn't know what he was doing and accidentally taxed everybody, the bottom line is we're going to pay a lot more money for it, and there's no doubt not denying it.
Well... Hillary Clinton on Syria. This one I want to play for
the
you.
The only way that will change is if every nation represented here directly and urgently makes it clear that Russia and China will pay a price because they are holding up progress, blockading it, that is no longer tolerable.
Are we standing up to China and Russia, Mike?
Well, you have to. Some along the way you have to, you know, you have to understand, first of all, I mean, it's a wonderful worldly concept, peaceful concept, to really think that Russia and China are our allies. They're not. You know, it's doggy dog. They're in it for themselves, guys, and they're going to do the things they can. And if they think they have a way to weakening whatever our hold in the Middle East is, they're going to do it, whether it's in Syria or anywhere else.
I think you're 100% right, Mike, and I agree with Hillary. I don't know what you actually do about that, but they're back.
Hillary Clinton is a pretty interesting woman. She's a very intelligent woman, and I like her because I don't think she's a no-nonsense woman. I hear too many politicians speak out of both sides of her mind. She seems to come right up and say what she, you know, what the facts are and what she really believes, and that's all you can ask in somebody. Be honest.
I tell you though, Johnny, if I'd have lost as many thousands of dollars as you'd wanted me to lose, if I would have ever said I miss Hillary, oh my gosh.
I would prefer her to be president.
Yeah. Well, that's common sense. So, guys, you know, we all, you know, unfortunately, America gets fooled. You know, it's interesting.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I know the president is still regarded as the favorite to win this fall, but certainly, and in Illinois, it's kind of depressing, Mike. My vote never matters anymore because it's going blue. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You make the vote anyway.
Yeah,
you've got to vote anyway.
You never know when you make that vote, you're going to take somebody off. That's good.
I've got to tell you that your vote can matter, and that's exactly when you get burned is when you think it doesn't, and people stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, what about your guy Bobby Jindal? He's out there for Mitt. I mean, he's not going to be VP. I still haven't heard much more on the vice presidential search.
It's hard to know what Mitt Romney's going to do. It's obviously coming down to Mitt Romney there. But Bobby's doing a good job for Louisiana, and he also has been standing pretty firm on his position that we're not going to do the health care exchanges and sign in for Obamacare any more than we have to. And he has reasons for it. It isn't a political posturing position. It's a economic position. And the government can't do it as well as we can do it issue. And I like what Bobby Jindal says, our governor.
Yeah, do you think Chris Christie would be too bombastic?
Probably. He's pretty,
it really doesn't matter what we think anyways, and this is really not about a vice president either. It's about Mitt Romney, and if the people buy into who he is and what he stands for, and the fact that and get over the fact that they're going to keep throwing this rich thing up and you know, Bain Capital and this and that, if they can just understand, if you look at somebody and you say, okay, here's a man who was in a position of leadership that led a company outstandingly. And here's a guy in the White House who never led anything. So, I mean, you got a choice to make. Make it. You want a leader or you want a follower?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that Romney does need a vice president that can help him swing a state. So I think Jindal's out from that standpoint. Christie would be a good one. I think he's got a chance in Florida anyway, mm-hmm. and I think that's another reason he's looking at the guy Portman in Ohio.
He
needs help with a swing state. Because that could make the difference. It's going to come down to one or two states again.
Yeah, as it seems to the last however many. All right, to golf as we wind up our visits, brother Johnny Mike Ditka, Vijay Singh, a 49-year-old, shoot 63 yesterday. I love to see it. Vijay's a real worker and hasn't done much in the last 3 or 4 years, but they're all capable, Mike. They're all capable.
Well, like I said, you know, there's 150 guys that can win it, and evidently he got hot at the right, you know, with the putter and everything else. And, you know, evidently it's not an easy course, guys. Let's face it, the Greenbrier, I've played Old White. It's a pretty good course. So, it's such a great thing. I'm watching the tennis this morning, and these guys are so good and so. I mean, they're so close, but yet you make one mistake, you miss one putt, you hit one errant drive, and, you know, the other guy's going to have the advantage.
I'll tell you, I'd like to see Vijay win one, and, yeah, I wondered how old he was getting.
Yeah.
But you got to look at that leaderboard, Steve, and you've got a couple of names, and then you've got some kids who've been around, and then you say, I've never heard that much from him, and he's, you know, got top 12 finishes. Johnny Bird's in there, which I've seen his name, but this guy's a good golfer, could win it. And then the guy that's the defending champion, I think it's the only one he's won, but he's up there, stalling. So,
well, and Nathaniel, I told Johnny before we got on the air, Nathaniel went and played the John Deere pre-qualifier yesterday, Mike, and there were 150 you know, these are guys that are beating around the little tours and things, but I mean, they're just, there's so many. Nathaniel missed by two shots making the cut for Monday, but it's just so many good
guys,
players.
I play with guys who were plus handicaps. I play, one guy's a plus one, the other guy's scratch, the other guy's a one, the other guy's a three.
It's crazy.
You know, and I'm playing with them. And I'm at, 13 or 14 or whatever I am. I don't even know anymore, but, you know, and you watch these guys hit the ball, and you wonder, there's a time you say, how can you hit it any better?
Yeah, no kidding.
There's 10 million people to hit it better.
And Mike, they're taking these par fives, and they're just...
absolutely. They riddle them. Yeah. I mean, they bang, bang.
I mean, I saw, you know, if you're not playing, there was a 599-yard par five on hole number one that Nathaniel was on, you know, 20 yards out after two and chipped it up there and made birdie. I mean, boom. Wow. I mean, that's just a lot. 600 yards is pretty far.
You figure it out. You figure it out when you hit my drive, and then you hit my drive three times. You're just about 600 yards.
It is. It's a stunning, stunning deal. Well, listen, gentlemen, always a pleasure. We will revisit everything on Monday and regather for another visit. We always appreciate both of you.
We enjoyed it, guys. Take care. God bless.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka.